Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're so happy you could join us this 12th day of January in the middle of winter. And today we're going to be discussing something new in technology. And to discuss that with me today in the studio, I have two fine gentlemen.
This is Joe.
And this is Josh.
And I'm Linda. But before we start today's article, let's talk about yesterday's article. Yesterday we talked about a cutting-edge bandage. And this is also a new kind of development in the field of medicine. So what stood out to you, Joe?
One of the things was the applications and how the biggest beneficiaries, the people receiving benefits, could be from low and middle income countries, and how that could just drastically change the medical and health state of that nation.
I think I really enjoyed the idea of administering vaccines or really medications that can really improve people's health without administering a lot of pain.
Okay. And yesterday we were talking about immunizations for the flu or for influenza. And we were talking about they're actually little needles. They're called microneedle patches that you can put on your arm to receive a vaccine against the flu, which is the short term for influenza, and you don't have to get jabbed or stuck by a needle. That's why if you were with us yesterday, both gentlemen had a lot of allergies as kids, and they got a lot of shots, so this was very, very appealing to them.
It's true. Yes.
I think it's appealing to anybody, especially, yes. And especially for people, you know, when you get older, that's where when they really want you to get flu shots, because your immune system is weakened and they want you to get immunized against a lot of maybe flu strains that could come by. So usually there's three or four that you're getting shots for at the same time, and it will build up your system. And also, because you're older, you know, the shots tend to hurt like they did when you were a kid. So this would be good for older people as well. But the biggest thing about this is that they are non-polluting. So the needles themselves that they're using actually dissolve in water, and so you don't have to worry about sharps waste. And they are suitable for low and middle-income countries that are developing, because they don't need to be refrigerated. So that's kind of our article yesterday in a nutshell, as we say. So today we have an entirely different article we're going to be talking about. It's about charging. And I think that's charging technology. So you don't just charge your phone, you also charge your other digital devices, right?
Right. And so we're talking about U-Beam, which was started by Meredith Perry and has this special kind of stealth wireless charging technology.
Right. So before we get started discussing it, why don't we read on page 23, take out your magazine or your digital device, and you can follow along with us as we talk about this, about U-Beam and Meredith Perry. And we're going to read the first section in the left-hand column down to about line 28 or so.
U-Beam's Meredith Perry shows her stealth wireless charging technology really works. A year ago, Meredith Perry, the founder of a well-capitalized startup promising a technology revolution, charging smartphones over the air using ultrasound waves, went into self-imposed exile. No interviews, few appearances, just heads down on work. Her company, U-Beam, is flush with $26 million, provided by Silicon Valley players eager to crack this thorny modern-day tech problem. In late May, Perry broke her media silence, giving USA Today a first close look at U-Beam's developing technology in action. The approach harnesses ultrasound and optical lasers to charge multiple phones at once at a distance of up to 10 feet. The vision is that one day people will walk into a U-Beam outfitted room, say a coffee shop, and within seconds, phones will be getting juice.
So before we start discussing this article, I need to call everybody's attention to the fact that it was written last year. kind of seems funny to say 2017 mm-hmm. was last year, but so we're in the middle of January and the article was written last year. So when they say a year ago in the very first sentence, they're talking about 2016. So just for time reference for all of our listeners here. But Joe, you started out with the topic or the title of the article that U-Beams, that's the name of the company, Meredith Perry shows her stealth wireless charging technology really works. Do you want to discuss that a little bit more?
Right. So U-Beam, we're going to be reading and discussing about how it works. But when we think of wireless charging, we think of those little pads you can put your phone on. But this works even better. You won't see the charger at all. And so when we say stealth means something you can't even detect, you don't even know it's there. And so it's a special kind of charging technology that you just won't even know it's there. You can use it.
Yeah, a lot of times when we hear stealth technology, we think of military planes.
Mm-hmm. Stealth planes.
Right?
That's what I
stealth
think of.
Planes, right? That have been specifically designed so they're not detectable by radar, right? But here, when we say anything that's got stealth technology or stealthy, means that it's almost impossible to see or detect.
Okay. So we see here that we're talking about the founder of a well-capitalized startup promising a technology revolution. So let's just take a look at that phrase because that's kind of a mouthful. We have Meredith Perry, and then the rest of it describes who she is. So of a well-capitalized technology revolution, okay? So well-capitalized means she has a lot of money.
Right. So when we talk about capital, we usually talk about money or funds that are used as an investment or something to get an enterprise or business off the ground.
Right. So she has money, and this is a startup, so this is fairly new, okay? And she's promising a technology revolution, and that is what Joe is just talking about, charging smartphones over the air using ultrasound waves. And she went into self-imposed exile. So her technology is charging smartphones over the air using ultrasound waves. So when we think of ultrasound, what do we usually think of? Where is that used?
I usually think of ultrasounds as the device that doctors use in order to take pictures of babies that are still in the womb.
Okay. Right. So they're non-invasive, and you can't hear those sounds by the human ear. So usually we say, yes, I have an ultrasound of my baby or something like that.
But right, or some sort of tissue or organ.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she went into self-imposed exile. So, Joe, do you want to tell us a little bit about this?
So Meredith Perry, she had originally started just in her garage, and this idea was so big, Silicon Valley poured money into her work.
What year was that?
She started it around 2012, I believe. And so she had been getting a lot of money, but then there were no results for many years. And people started to wonder if she was a fraud, if she was lying. And so she was getting all this criticism. And Meredith Perry said it came at a time when she was just about to make a breakthrough. And so she decided that she was not going to look at Twitter or Facebook and just work.
Okay. And before we came on the air, Joe was saying, or used that term, she was getting a lot of hate mail.
Oh, yes. That was another issue. She was getting hate mail in the form of emails and nasty messages.
Okay. So that's a term that all of you can, if you hear, I wouldn't be involved in it, but if you hear it, you'll know that hate mail means mail that's, very kind of vicious and, you know, calling her a fraud. Calling into account, like, really her ability.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why she went into self-imposed exile. So normally when someone is exiled, it means that they're forced to go someplace else so they don't have any contact with anyone. But when you self-impose, when you do it yourself, it means that you are the person that says, I am not going to have any contact with anyone else and certainly not read my emails that are just filled with hateful messages.
Right, and I'm sure a lot of people thought she just took the money and ran.
Right, especially no interviews, few appearances. Where'd she go?
Right. So it says here, just heads down on work. So that's kind of an interesting phrase you don't hear very often. It just means she was paying attention to her work only. Okay. So her company, the name of her company is called UBeam, and flush with $26 million. Okay, if you are flush with something, usually we use that term for money, right? He's
right.
flush with money.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you have a lot of it. And $26 million is quite a bit.
That is a bit of money.
Okay, and who gave her this money? Silicon Valley players. What does that mean? What did they play?
Well, investment is a type of gambling, right?
It's true.
And Silicon Valley right now is looking for the next big idea. And this is certainly a big idea. Before we started, Josh and I were talking about how this technology is like a holy grail of charging.
It's true. The idea that you could be able to send power without having to use a lot of wires or cables or cords is really something that everybody's been looking for a long period of time. I don't know how many people out there hate their cords, but many people do. And I used to work in sound reinforcement, and we had cables that would go all over the place. And it seems like most of my time was spent with dealing with either cables being tangled up or cables being broken and trying to figure out what was going on with cables spent all my time. And so I think that this is a wonderful thing to figure out how to do stuff without cables at all.
Okay, and she's starting with smartphones, so it seems manageable if it actually gets off the ground and is viable. And we see here that Silicon Valley players are people that, you know, have money to invest, and they're coming out of Silicon Valley, so that's the big technology area in the United States, and they're eager to crack this thorny modern-day tech problem. And if you have a thorny problem, what do you have, Josh?
Well, usually you have a problem that's either very difficult to solve or very hard to solve.
Okay.
Right, a thorny issue, a thorny mm-hmm. situation.
Mm-hmm. So we see in late May, so this would be about a half a year ago, she broke her media silence finally. She came out of her self-imposed exile, and she gave USA Today, so this article was originally published in USA Today, a close look at UBeam's developing technology in action. And what does this approach do? It harnesses what?
So this approach, it harnesses the ultrasound. We're talking about those sounds that are higher than the human ear can detect.
And what does harness mean?
Harness is a way of saying to control. We often harness power, like wind power or solar power. So you harness energy or something to power something else.
Okay. So she's using ultrasound, and what else is she using, Josh?
She's also using optical lasers.
So
an optical laser is a laser that it's a focused beam of light. That usually requires some sort of like optical transmitter and optical receiver.
Okay, and she's doing this so that she can charge not just one, but several. It says here multiple, so it could be many. We don't really know the number. I don't think she knows either.
No.
At this point, the number of phones she could do at one time at a distance of up to 10 feet. So it's not, you know, 10 feet is not that big. But it is considerable when you are tied to a plug on the wall with your phone.
It's true.
So here we see that she hopes that one day people will go where? They can go into, this is kind of interesting phraseology, a UBeam outfitted room. What does that mean?
It just means a room that's going to be equipped with the UBeam technology. Maybe they're inside the walls as you're walking around.
Okay, so like a coffee shop. I mean, if it's only, I'm sure that she's going to develop it so that the distance is further than 10 feet, because, you know, a 10-foot wide coffee shop is not very wide.
It's not very wide at all.
No.
Although, if you think in terms of your charging cable, I think most people have charging cables that are much shorter than 10 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Or much shorter than 3 meters.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if it's in the walls, surrounding walls, which is what we're talking about because you can't see it, mm-hmm. then it could be from all sides.
All sides.
So mm-hmm. that increases the area right there. And it says that within seconds, phones will be getting juice. So this is kind of an interesting phrase. You mean phones drink?
So getting juice here just means they're getting that energy. So oftentimes we'll say, oh, I'm all out of juice. It doesn't mean I'm out of orange juice. It means I'm out of energy.
Okay. And usually in the form of electricity, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes you can like look at a plug in your wall and people will say, does it have any juice? Okay. Okay, well, let's continue reading this article, and we're going to read, now we're at line 28, and we're going to read to the end of the article.
For UBeam and other companies pursuing wireless charging, this is a halcyon vision for smartphone users who find themselves tethered to walls and kiosks, all in need of a power outlet. In a blissful cordless world, tech gadgets never run on empty, powered by energy broadcasting transmitters hidden away in the walls of cars, businesses, and homes. The technology is at least a year away from commercialization, and it faces significant hurdles from ever getting out the door of this 30-person startup. Even though it can at present power a handful of phones, it's not clear what leaps need to be made to charge a busy coffee shop. And consumer questions will linger about safety as well as cost. If UBeam or any other company can nail an effortless way to charge devices without cables, it could claim a healthy slice of what promises to be a $37.2 billion pie by 2022, up from $1.9 billion in 2015, according to Allied Market Research.
So we've been talking about the ultrasound waves, and let's take a look at the sidebar here that we have, this information. It says purportedly ultrasound safe. Just what does the title itself mean, Joe?
So it says purportedly ultrasound safe, and the idea is, you know, that the device, the way it uses ultrasound, is safe for humans to be interacting with and to be surrounded by.
Okay, what is that word purportedly? When we say that, it means supposedly.
Supposedly. They say it's safe.
Right. So what is the challenge here, Josh?
Well, the challenge could be that the perception that always-on ultrasound could be unhealthy to humans. So the perception, meaning that the way that people think or the way that they perceive a problem or an issue, even if the issue itself might be a little bit different.
Right, because usually we see, well, we talked about ultrasounds before, like being used, like especially when you're looking to see if your baby, when you're pregnant, but also in MRIs. And we see here that those are only in short bursts, but now we're talking about having it on all the time. And Perry says that sound waves generated by UBeam tech are safe, and the company will continue to research this before it's like put on the market to make sure that it's totally safe.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the interesting issues they'll probably run into is just this question of perception versus mechanics. So if you get into the mechanics of how this is supposed to work, it's a little bit different than always on ultrasound, but because people have this idea that this wireless charging is always on, they're always going to wonder if that's like being constantly exposed to this type of radiation is really going to be safe for people.
Right, and especially it's a new technology, so no one's familiar with it.
Right, so to me, this is one type of technology that really would take a few years to study, because this kind of thing, you don't know exactly the results of it, or the results of having that on your body for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she does have challenges ahead of her. UBeam has challenges ahead of them. But we see that in our article it says, for this company and other companies that are pursuing wireless charging, what do they feel that this is?
They feel that this is a halcyon vision for smartphone users. So smartphone users find themselves attached or tethered to walls and kiosks for power. And a halcyon vision is just a nice way of saying it's golden, it's a happy vision.
Okay, and so, you said the word tethered is tied to a wall and a kiosk. What's a kiosk?
So a kiosk can be anything from a small table to a cart where they have services available.
Right. And sometimes, you know, if you go to a huge mall, you'll see like freestanding, like little stands in the middle, not a store, but just like a little stand. That's also called a kiosk.
Sure.
And oftentimes you see that in a lot of the MRTs in Tidy City, you can see kiosks where you can go and plug in your phone to do work or to charge your phone. But let's go back to this word Halcyon. Josh, you have an interesting, I guess it's a myth about where this came from.
Yeah, so Halcyon, first, it's a term that you don't really hear too terribly often.
It's usually in writing, I think.
Yeah, it's usually in writing. And so, and part of the reason why is because it has this literary sense. It actually is a very specific species of kingfisher, right, which is a type of bird that you find on the water. But a long time ago, the Greeks used to see this kingfisher, and they thought this kingfisher would build its nests on the ocean. So it would actually float on the ocean right about the winter solstice. And at that time, in their area, the ocean would become very calm and still and nice for about 2 weeks. And they thought it was because of this Halcyon kingfisher. And so the term Halcyon now comes to us with this sense of like a calm, gentle, ideal situation.
And that's what they're looking for here, okay? This calm, ideal situation started by a bird in the ocean, or probably on the Mediterranean Sea since it's by Greece. So we see another word here, in a blissful, cordless world. And this word is also quite close to the word Halcyon. It just means completely happy. And this word we see around much more frequently than we do the other one. So we're looking for a cordless world, and tech gadgets never run on empty, powered by energy broadcasting transmitters hidden away in the walls of cars, businesses, and homes. That was kind of a mouthful, wasn't it?
That's a lot. That's a lot to take in.
Okay, so let's break this down. So what kind of world are we looking for? It's going to be blissful. There are no cords involved. And all of your tech gadgets, I kind of said this at the beginning, not just your smartphones. Right now it's only for smartphones, but eventually they think it will be also for all your other digital devices. You don't have to ever have them have the battery run down because they will be charged by transmitters that you can't see. And that's the stealth wireless technology.
Right.
So this is a beautiful picture, this sort of Halcyon vision of a peaceful, blissful world where you never have to worry about the fact that your phone is about to die or your computer is about to die because you have these hidden, stealthy transmitters of power that are constantly giving your laptop, computer, phone, tablet, whatever, constant juice or energy.
Right.
I thought it was kind of interesting. They also said hidden in the walls of cars.
Right. So one day we'll be in our self-driving cars and charging our phones while we're going.
Yes, while we're drinking our coffee. Okay, we see that the technology is at least a year away from commercialization. And this word commercialization just means that they're going to be selling it to make a profit.
Right.
Okay. And that's not the only thing. It faces significant hurdles from ever getting out of the door. Of this 30-person startup, there are only 30 people involved in getting this technology going. And we see here this word hurdle. Usually we think of hurdles in races where you have to jump over a barrier. But here, what does it mean?
Here it just means the opposition and the doubts and obstacles from public opinion, like we were talking about in the sidebar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we see here ever getting out the door, which means that there is doubt whether or not this will ever take off or whether it will ever be on the market.
Right.
So it says that even though it can at present power a handful of phones, they don't know if they can make it to charge even a busy coffee shop. It says make the leaps because there is a lot of development that has to happen, right?
Right. At the moment, you can only charge things that are 4 feet away. It didn't even make its 10-foot goal, and it has to be at a certain angle to the transmitter. So you have to have your phone in a certain position for it to charge. So there are a lot of issues, and that's going to be a major issue to handle.
Yeah, maybe this is a good point to just kind of briefly mention the mechanics of what they're trying to
mm-hmm.
do. So they're using sound waves, and that involves a transmitter, kind of like a speaker, but then the sound waves are so high you can't hear them. But then it also needs a receiver, like a microphone, that will transmit this sound wave into electricity, which is pretty cool, I have to admit. But it also means that you need to have a transmitter and receiver, and because they use these optical lasers, they have to be line of sight, which means the two things have to be within view of each other. So even if you're sitting next to a transmitter, if you have it in your purse or in your pocket, it's not going to get any power. And that is a little bit different from this halcyon vision of just being able to have constant power no matter where you're at.
Okay. So there are some caveats as well here mm-hmm. that we have to be aware of. Well, we see that there are also some questions about safety as well as cost involved, because people are still wondering about the waves that they're going to be receiving, sure. you know, because your body's going to be absorbing them as well. And, but if it can happen, if they can nail this, okay, or if they can actually accomplish this, then there is a lot of money to be made in this field.
Right. This is really the holy grail of technology.
Right. Well, we hope that you have enjoyed this, and you can read the article again thoroughly. There's a lot of interesting vocabulary and concepts in today's article, and we hope that you will join us again tomorrow as we discuss another issue in our newsworthy clips. See you then. Bye for now.
Goodbye.